Well, didn't they do a great job?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, they're out singing this congregation. We're going to have to work on our singing now. That's all they are to it. We appreciate these children. They have good voices, and they're willing to use them for the Lord. And we're so thankful for that. Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house. We do miss all of our people that are regular in attendance that come. But we're so thankful that we can still maintain our services. There are a lot of churches that are not open today. But the Lord has been good to us, and we can still assemble and worship the Lord. And that's been a part of my life as long as I can remember. Never remember a time when my family was not active in church. My parents and then my own family. I'm just so thankful for that today. I'd like to invite your attention to a few verses of Scripture this morning. It'll be found in the book of Romans. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I'll be in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to begin with verse 4, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 10 and read through verse 13, and then I'm going to read verse 17. So if you have your Bible, just turn to Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, I want to emphasize that, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I want to read verse 17. And that reads like this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. Now if I should take a text today, I would like to take my text from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Where the Apostle Paul said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers this morning. And I want you to pray for this audience. And I want you to pray for the unsaved that may be in our midst today. That the Word of God will find lodging in good and honest hearts. Because, you know, we have to be honest with the Lord in everything. I suppose today that every person in this building would like to please the Lord. Surely to goodness that we would like to please the Lord this morning. Now, I know there are a lot of people today, as Paul said in the Philippian letter, chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, there are many that are enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, their God is their belly. Maybe I ought to turn over there to that passage and read it because I think that it's important. In the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, many walk whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. He was heartbroken about this, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, the Bible said that we should set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. But there are people, as Paul said, and many more people today than there were in Paul's day, who have their minds on worldly things, and they are not interested at all in the things above, you know. And they're the enemies of the cross. They're the enemies of God's people. They mind earthly things. And listen again to what Paul said. Their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. So we think about these things today. And I hope there's nobody in this audience like that. I hope today that it is your desire to honor God and to please God in everything that you do. We read in the Bible about Solomon. You know, there are a lot of people that don't understand spiritual things. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, you know, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. And he said, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. A lot of people don't understand, as Brother Sampson said in Sunday school this morning, you know, what's the point, you know? Why do people go to church? Why do they worship God? Why do they support missions and try to get the gospel out to all of the world? It just don't make any sense to them. Well, it's because that they are not spiritually minded. And the natural man just don't understand all of those things. Now, Solomon was somewhat different. The Lord blessed Solomon with wisdom. It was a gift of God. Solomon had come to the throne, and it was a terrible and a great responsibility. And God said, Solomon, what can I do for you? And Solomon said, give me an understanding heart, that I may know how to go in and out before this thy people, so great a people, your people. I still feel like God's people are the best people in the world. I really do. I'm so thankful today to have people in our church that love the Lord, and people that want to serve the Lord and want to be a blessing to other people and want them to hear the gospel, and want them to be saved, and want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Lord, to bless Solomon with wisdom, that he might have discernment. And so Solomon took that gift that God had given unto him, and he applied himself. He applied himself. He wanted to know more about everything. He wanted to understand everything. And so, as the Bible said, I want to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I want to reference a few verses of Scripture with reference to Solomon and his desire. This is what it said. I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of many things. You know, he wanted to know, if you told him something, he wanted to know why, you know. he applied himself and said, and he wanted to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. So he applied himself to this fault that we have. In verse 16 of the 8th chapter, this is what he said. When I applied my heart to know wisdom, when I applied my heart, he said, and to see the business that is done in the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with the eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God. He began to think about everything that God has done. And he said, a man cannot find out the work of God. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet shall he not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You know, we cannot understand everything about God. We cannot understand how that God was able to just speak a word, and the world come into existence. He said, let there be, and there it was. Do you understand that? I don't, but I believe it. I believe it is absolutely the truth. There are many people in the world today, you know, who have applied themselves and tried to understand all of the scientific things that go on in the world. And some of them have come to the wrong conclusion about things. There are some, that say, well, God didn't create the world. It just, boom, there it was. Some gases or some kind of something exploded, and as a result of it, we have the world. They have no proof of that. They have no proof of that. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. God did it, They tell us that, God didn't create man. That man evolved from some lower form of life, Well, they're wrong on that too. There's no link between apes or monkeys and a man. God created the apes and the monkeys. He did it before he created man. And then he created man. And there is no link except God created them both. That's the only link that exists. But men, we don't understand the workings of God. How can you take a seed and put it in the ground and pour some water on it, and that thing germinate and come up and grow and bear fruit? They say, how can a black cow give a white milk, and yellow butter? Well, we don't know. That's God's business. What we need to do is believe what God said. We need to have faith. We need to believe God in everything that God says. We know God is perfect. He makes no mistakes. I want to read a few verses of Scripture over here. Job said this, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Then we read in the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon made this statement. He said, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God that God maketh from the beginning unto the end. You can't understand it all, but you can believe it. You can believe it. Isaiah the prophet said in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. So, a lot of things we don't understand. I don't understand, you know, how that God, in his great wisdom, provided a plan of salvation whereby he would send his son from heaven and he would be born of a virgin and he would grow up and he would establish a church and he would begin to preach the gospel of the Son of Man. How that his life would be a perfect life. The Bible says that he knew no sin, and neither was there any guile found in his mouth. He sacrificed his life to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. How does that work? Well, it's God's plan. That's how it works. That's the only explanation for it. God made a plan of salvation for sinners so that we could come to him. We could come and call upon his name. And in faith, we could find the forgiveness of our sins. And we could become the children of God, have all of our sins blotted out, and have eternal life, and have it now, and life that never would end. Man, what a plan. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. We don't understand at all how it works, you know. How can a man die on the cross over 2,000 years ago and pay for your sins so that you could go free and not be accountable for them? I don't understand that, but I know it's the truth. I know that it's the truth. So I wanted to share those things before I go further. And this is what Solomon, that man that applied himself to find out everything that he could about everything, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the last word. This is the last word. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God says, you may not understand everything, but you need to believe the Word of God. Now, I want to go back over here to the book of Romans just for a few minutes of time. And I want to show you some things from the Word of God. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ, he fulfilled the law. That's what that means. He was the end of the law. He was the fulfillment of it. There were many things through the centuries of time that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the sacrifices, they were types and shadows. Not one person ever was saved from their sins by offering an animal sacrifice. Not one. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, is the only atonement that God recognizes for sin. The only one. And so he was the fulfillment, the end of the law for righteousness. If you want to be righteous in the eyes of God, it'll have to come through Jesus Christ. It'll have to be the gift of God to you. You know, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. And not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So, nothing we do will merit righteousness. Will give to us righteousness in the eyes of God. But believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him for salvation will enable God to impute, that is, give righteousness to you. And it's the righteousness of God imputed. It's never been the righteousness of man. It's the righteousness of God as a gift to man. He forgives us of our sins. Now I want you to notice, he said, so faith, and maybe I ought to back up a little bit before I get to that. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the way you get it. There's no other way. No other way. The Scripture says, Paul emphasized that, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Jesus, shall not be ashamed. And so, he said, no difference between the Jew or the Greek. It's the same Lord that's rich over all that call upon Him. So, he said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. There's just no way to please God without faith. And so, I want to emphasize, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's no wonder that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? That believeth. That believeth on the Lord Jesus. So faith comes by hearing. It gives knowledge. When we preach the gospel, it provides knowledge, the knowledge of God's plan of salvation. It is God's plan. And so he says, so faith comes by hearing. And then he asked this question. The question is asked before that verse. We go back to verse 12 and 13 for this. But he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he said, but how can they call upon Him in whom they've not heard? You see, the hearing, faith comes by hearing. How can anybody call upon Him that in whom they have not heard? How can they believe on Him that they don't know anything about, you know? And that's why the preaching of the gospel is so important. That's why it's so important to go to church. That's why it's so important to take your children to church. They need to hear the gospel of the Son of God because it provides information. It provides what they need to hear. It provides what God uses to bring them to repentance and to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so he said, How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard or not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring the glad tidings of peace. There's a way to have peace with God. There's a way to get rid of the condemnation of sin. There's a way to know that you've been saved by God's grace. You can know it in your heart. And you can have the assurance that you've passed from death unto life and that everything is all right between you and God. And it comes through the preaching of the gospel, and the faith comes by the preaching of the Word of God. I'll try to be done shortly. But you can't believe in something that you don't know about. That's why the preaching of the gospel is so important. You can't believe in Jesus and be saved if you've never heard of Jesus. Now, I heard a man one time, he believed it. You know, from before the foundation of the world, you was predestined either to go to heaven or go to hell. And he said he is walking across the cow pasture, and all of a sudden he is saved. He said he hadn't even thought about being saved. Nothing hadn't. Never crossed his mind. It just, because he was predestined to be saved, he just, boom, automatically he was saved. And I turned him off. I don't believe that foolishness. I believe God has made a plan of salvation that's within the reach of every person. I believe it's made available through the preaching of the gospel. The information that God has provided about his son, his only begotten son that he loved, but he sacrificed him. You know what Isaiah chapter 53 says? I like to call it the gospel of Isaiah because it is pure gospel. The Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men. It says that he was afflicted of God. God the Father put his son Jesus through the affliction of living among men and being despised and rejected and being taken to Calvary as a lamb for the slaughter and allowing him to be crucified to pay for our sin. Because we could not possibly pay for them ourselves. And so God provided someone to pay for them for us. And that's the essence of the gospel, my friend. And so God provided. He put his son through the agony of the cross. He died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And Jesus lives. He's not dead. He lives. And he is still answering prayer. He's still answering prayer. And so, you know, a lot of people claim to be believers. But you have to be careful what you believe. You have to be careful what you believe. Now, I've read this once, and I wanted to share it with you. It just makes a point. That's the reason for it. This man was going to be ordained. And, of course, in ordination services, you know, we have a certain formality that we go through. We have someone present the man to the presbytery. And then we have an interrogator that asks him what he believes about certain things, you know. Because you don't want to ordain a heretic to your church, you know. In your church. So this interrogator asked the man, he said, what do you believe about salvation? Well, he said, I believe whatever the church believes. And so he said, well, what does the church believe about it? He said, the church believes the same thing I do. And so the interrogator said, well, tell me what you and the church believe about salvation. He said, oh, we believe the same thing. So he didn't believe anything, you know. He didn't know what he believed. I tell you, it's important to know what you put your faith in. It's important to know what you put your faith in. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. It's really a simple plan of salvation. It's not easy to do. You know why it's not easy? Because we love sin. We're sinners. We sin, you know, by practice even, don't we? Sometimes we know to do right and do wrong, don't we? And sometimes we just know better, but we go on and do it anyway because that's what we want to do. See? And so, you know, you need to know what you believe in. And so lots of people say, you know, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. That's good if you believe the right thing. And if you don't believe in the right thing, it's wrong. And it won't get you to heaven if you believe in the wrong thing. It will not get you to heaven. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Now, I started to say, Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason for the hope that is within you. Well, a lot of people, you ask them, have you been saved? They say, well, I've been baptized, you know, or I belong to the church or something, you know. But I'm telling you that there is a reason. If you have hope in Christ, there's a reason for it. It is your personal experience with God. David said, I love the Lord because... here's why. Because he heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Well, he said, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the Lord. And the Lord heard my voice and my supplication. He said, he delivered me. He delivered my eyes from tears, my soul from death, and my feet from falling. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There's a reason, you know. He said, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. He trusted in the Lord. Faith, you know, it begins with knowledge. And it continues with agreement. That is, I agree with what the Bible says. I believe it. I agree with it, you know. But then there comes a point where you have to trust it. Where you have to trust in Jesus. Where you have to surrender your all. Forsake your own ways, your own thoughts. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return to the Lord. And the Lord will have mercy on him, and he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher above the earth, you know, high above the earth, So my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You have to come God's way. That's the only way that you can find salvation for your soul. Now, in closing, I want to say this. This is just a little illustration. But let's say today that you're lost and in sin. You haven't been saved. And you believe the gospel. You believe that Jesus came and died on the cross and He shed His life's blood to pay for your sins. You believe all that. But you haven't trusted Him yet, you know. Let's just say, for example, let's use this as an example. There's a building on fire, and there's a little child up in upstairs up there. Stairwell's on fire, you know. No way to escape, you know. And so there's a big, strong man. He comes down, and he stands under the window, and he says, "Jump, I'll catch you," you know. I'm strong enough that I can keep you from falling. I can catch you, and I can save you. And the child jumps, and the big man catches him. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus is the big man. Jesus is the one that can catch you. When you just surrender everything, you just forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts, and you just make that jump, you know. You just trust the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. He will catch you. And I called him a big man, and he was a man. But he was big enough that he is able. You know, a little scrawny fella, he might have, you know, let the child fall and hit the ground. But the big strong man, he's able. He has the ability. And Jesus has the ability to save you. He'll catch you. And He'll save your soul. You may not understand. I don't know if all of my thoughts today have made sense to you or not. I hope that they have. But even if you don't understand some of the things that I've talked about, if you'll just come to Jesus, just put your faith and trust in Jesus, and let Him save you, because He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to come in faith, believing and trusting in Jesus. May God bless you today is my prayer. Brother Wayne, let's have a song. There might be somebody today. You know, I've been in services, and I thought there wasn't a lost person present. And I've been surprised, you know, to see sinners move. You know, I didn't know they were lost, but they knew it, and they came to the Lord. I've seen older people up in their years, you know, thought they was already saved, you know. But Word of God convicted them of their sins, and they came to Jesus. You know, so we don't know the workings of God. That's one of the points I tried to make. But I tell you, we know this for a fact, because it's right here in this book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, and God can speak to your heart, and I won't even know it. Won't even be suspect, you know. He'll speak to your heart and he'll say, "You know, you're not right with God. You know you're lost. You know what's going to happen if you die in your sins." You know, whatever the cause of death, there are many causes for death. We don't plan. I started to say any of them, but evidently some people do plan suicide. But I don't think they're thinking right when they do that. I think that's a form of mental illness when you get to the point that you don't want to live and you proceed to take your life. That's not normal. That's not normal. But many ways people can die. But I tell you, there's only one way you can live, and live eternally. And that's through Jesus Christ. If you feel the need today to pray, to get right with God while we're standing and singing, would you come? Would you come to Jesus?